الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Today we shall talk about Sufism, inshallah. Praise be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. We thank Allah for the blessing of Islam, and we humbly ask Him to raise the rank of our master and most beloved Prophet, Prophet Muhammad, and his kind al and companions, and to protect his nation from that which he fears for it. May Allah grant us the sincere intentions and the proper comprehension. Sufism or Tasawwuf is very much a part of the religion of Islam. Indeed, the leader of all Sufis was Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was sent by Allah to teach the people the matters which, if performed and practiced in the proper way, would lead to their success in this life and in the hereafter. However, unfortunately, many things which are in fact contradictory to the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are today labeled Sufism. There are some who, under the guise of being Sufis, spread falsehood and misguidance and dare to label it Sufism. On the other hand, there are groups like the Wahhabis and those who follow those extremists who categorically deny Sufism and claim it is not a part of the religion of Islam. Moreover, Allah Ta'ala endowed the awliya, the walis, with karamas. Karamas or karamat are extraordinary actions which may be performed by the wali and are a sign that he is a truthful following the prophet of his time. Many people witnessed the karama of our master Ahmad al-Rifa'i, peace and blessings be upon him, who was born in the year 512 and died the year 578 after the Hijrah. And he was a great master and a great wali during the time of Mawlana Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani. May Allah Ta'ala accept their good deeds. During the Hajj season in year 550 after Al-Hijrah, when standing in front of the grave of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Imam Ahmad al-Rifa'i asked in a poem that the Prophet put out his hand so he can kiss that hand, the honorable hand of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This happened in front of a large crowd of people. The Prophet, peace be upon him, pulled out his hand from the grave, and Shaykh Ahmad al-Rifa'i was able, by a karama from Allah, to kiss the hand of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what happened to our master Ahmad al-Rifa'i was a clear karama. It was not a miracle, because although it was an extraordinary event, it occurred to one not claiming the status of prophethood. He was a wali. And the karama, as we mentioned, shows an extraordinary matter which may be performed by the wali and are a sign that this wali is a true follower of the Prophet, peace be upon him. This event took place in front of many scholars and lay Muslims and is mutawatir, that is, it is confirmed, it cannot be denied. Imam As-Suyuti, who was born year 849 and died the year 911 after the Hijrah, narrated it in his book Al-Sharaf Al-Muhattam. And Imam Abdul Karim Al-Rafi'i, who was born the year 555 and died year 623 after Al-Hijrah, mentioned this story as well in the book called Sawadul Aynain. Also amongst the awliya, the walis, was Al-Imam Abu Muslim Al-Khawlani. He was a great example of the awliya. Abu Muslim Al-Khawlani once stood up against Al-Aswad Al-Ansi, which is an evil person, an evil man who falsely claimed the status of prophethood. When Abu Muslim Al-Khawlani refuted Al-Aswad Al-Ansi, the latter tried to kill him and to silence him. So Al-Aswad Al-Ansi set a blazing fire and tried three times to burn Abu Muslim in it. However, that fire did not burn Abu Muslim al-Khawlani or his clothes. This was a karama for Abu Muslim al-Khawlani because he is a man of wilaya. He was a pious, God-fearing, obedient Muslim scholar. Seeing this, Al-Aswad decided to banish Abu Muslim from his land. Abu Muslim went to Al-Madina, the city of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a place he had never been before. He was met at the borders of Al-Madina by Sayyiduna Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. Although Master Umar had never before met Abu Muslim, Allah inspired our Master Umar the knowledge of this story. So Umar said, "Praise be to Allah who made one of the members of the nation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam similar to Ibrahim al-Khalil." Meaning by that the fire did not burn Abu Muslim al-Khawlani, who is a great wali, as the fire had not burned Prophet Ibrahim before him, who was a great prophet. Our master, Imam Ahmad al-Rifa'i, used to give lessons that were attended by 100,000 people. And all the people were able to hear his lesson without modern day microphones or other audio equipment. It was a karama by the will of Allah. It was reported that a man could be working in his field, planting and plowing, and still be able to hear the lesson of Sheikh Ahmad al-Rifa'i. All these 100,000 people were able to hear him, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And Sheikh Ahmad al-Rifa'i, in many cases and many times of these lessons, thousands of people embraced Islam. Once thousands of people from the Christians embraced Islam, and thousands of the Sabi'ah as well embraced Islam at once in one session. مولانا الشيخ أحمد الرفاعي قدس الله سره used to teach the people the fiqh, the tawheed, the Arabic language and the fundamentals of the religion and other types of knowledge. Yet he used to say about himself, "I am no one." All of this was out of his humility and out of modesty and out of humbleness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the awliya, the true Sufis, are modest, obedient, pious believers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And among the true Sufis, you will find those who follow a tariqah and sit in circles to remember Allah together and make dhikr and mention Allah. The tariqah is a good way and a good innovation in Islam. It falls under the permissibility in the religion for the top scholars of the nation of Muhammad to innovate matters in the religion which comply with the Quran, Hadith, Ijma' and Al-Athar. Those scholars who innovate such innovations are greatly rewarded, as are those who practice their good innovations. Muslim narrated that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "Man sanna fil Islam sunnatan hasana falahu ajruha wa ajru man amila biha ila yawm al-qiyamah la yanqusu min ujurihim shay'." This hadith means the one who innovates a good innovation, bid'ah, in Islam shall have its reward and the reward of those who implement it until the day of judgment, without lessening any of the rewards of those who implement it. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's saying that there is two types of sunnah, there's two types of bid'ah, bid'atu hasanah and bid'atu sayyi'ah, as Imam al-Shafi'i said. And the great true Sufis, they made the tariqah, which is a way of making dhikr for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a process in bettering the self and improving it and becoming more obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are about 40 tariqas. All of them are sound in principle and origin. Examples of those tariqas is the Rifa'iyya tariqa, the Qadiriyya tariqa, the Naqshbandiyya tariqa, the Shadhiliyya tariqa, the Badawiyya tariqa, among other tariqas. All of them were established and founded by great scholars of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah with great vast amount of knowledge, and it's in compliance with the religion. That is, it is compliance with the Quran, the Hadith, the Ijma' and the Athar, because what opposes that is rejected. However, today there are many people who claim to be followers of a particular tariqah and followers of a particular sheikh or a Sufi scholar, yet they have perverted and misapplied the original tariqah, thereby doing things contrary to the religion. Although such people do exist, they do not shake the foundation and the truthfulness or the credibility of the tariqas and the sound tariqas that we have mentioned. There are many Sufi claimers today who claim to be Sufis, however, oppose the true method of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the true way of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And in Islam, we are obligated to warn from whoever opposes the religion. And amongst those people, it is important for us to be aware and to be advised who these people are and what their beliefs are and what our religion and our Sunnah, the teachings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's opinion about these matters is. So for example, some of the people who claim to be Sufis and opposed the teachings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and opposed the true way of the tariqah sheikh that they claim they follow, among them, for example, is Nazim al-Qubrusli. Nazim al-Qubrusli, amongst his ill claims that oppose the true Naqshbandi tariqah, is that he claims that reciting, for example, the last verses of Al-Baqarah, Amana al-Rasulu, the ayah, will make you reach a rank higher than the prophets. And this is mentioned in their books. They also say the Aqidah of the Hulul, which is the unity of the Creator in the creations. And the Hulul is a blasphemous belief. The one who believes that Allah inhabits the creations is a blasphemer. So whoever claims to be Sufi and claims that Allah inhabits the creations, or that Allah Ta'ala dwells in His creations, then that is blasphemy, because Allah exists without a beginning and without a place. Allah does not occupy places, subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are other claims also that the people who claim to be Naqshbandis, who follow Nazim al-Qubrusli, in which oppose the religion, and they teach that in their books, and their people are teaching it, and their books are being printed now by the name of his deputies, by the name of Nazim al-Qubrusli himself, by his own murids, by his own people who follow him blindly. And he is amongst the people who orders his students not to object and not to question the sheikh. In his books he mentions that, even if the sheikh was wrong. And because of that, many people follow him blindly. And the one who believes with the blasphemous beliefs that the Hululi people say, like claiming that Allah inhabits the creations or Allah is inside of things, then this is kufr, even if the person claimed to be a Sufi. Other than Nazim al-Qubrusli, who claims to be Naqshbandi, but the true Naqshbandi way is innocent from his claims, also the tariqah that is called the Yashrutiyya Shadhiliyya. This group of people, it's said that they claim to follow Sheikh Ali Nuruddin al-Yashruti, who is from Tunisia, who lived in Akka, Palestine. He had followers, some of them deviated during his lifetime, and so he disowned them. They claim that Allah dwells in everyone, male or female. This is also kufr, as this kind of kufr is amongst the worst kufr worse than the kufr of the Jews and fire worshippers. They claim Allah is in everything. In fact, one of them said to the other, "You are Allah. This wall is Allah." This type of kufr is a severe type of blasphemy. Allah is clear from dwelling in this or that. Allah Ta'ala is not part of something and nothing was part of Him, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Allah has no shape or limit or body. Allah exists without a place. Shaykh Ali Nuruddin Al-Yashruti, Allah guided by him some people. But the others misguided. Those Yashrutiya, when they gather men and women, they shake hands of the marriageable woman. And they say, "We are the Sufi people of Tariqah." They deemed a haram matter as a halal. Wal-iyadu billahi ta'ala. A woman among them said, "I move my hand because Allah is in it." And this is kufr. This is blasphemy. Even if the person claimed that he is Sufi, attributing to Allah non-befitting attributes is blasphemy. Deeming something that is known by all Muslims, scholars and lay Muslims, being haram, unlawful, to deem it as halal, it is also blasphemy. Deeming something that is known by all Muslims, by necessity, it is known to be haram, and they deem it as halal, it is blasphemy. Like the Qubrusi, when he said about the five prayers, he said, "You don't have to perform the five prayers." And this is also blasphemy. There is also another group who claim to be Sufis. They're called the Tijaniyya. It was said that Abu al-Abbas al-Tijani, during the occupation of Morocco, al-Maghrib, his tariqah was changed and perverted between his followers. It's possible that he is not like them. It's possible that they were like the Yashrutiyya, who claim Allah dwells in the creations. They have a statement. They say, wal-iyadu billah, "O Allah, raise the rank of the Prophet, Ya Allah, salli ala Muhammad, the one who is really you, aynu dhatika." They claim that Muhammad is the reality of Allah, or Muhammad is Allah himself, wal-iyadu billah. This is blasphemy. They claim that they are Sufis. They claim that anyone who takes their tariqah, the Tijani tariqah, becomes better than the Qutb Wali. Islam is clear from such exaggeration. They sit in a circle and they recite their word, their dhikr, and they claim that the Prophet ﷺ sits with them. They have other strange false beliefs that Muslims must be warned from. That's why we are warning from those groups, because they oppose the Prophet ﷺ. They oppose the beliefs of the Muslims. There's also another group called the Dandarawiyya. Now the origin of this Sufi group is correct, but those who follow it now, they have perverted its origin. Abu al-Abbas al-Dandarawi was Egyptian. He was not like the Dandarawiyya today. These people today, they are lost. They don't know Islam. They even say, wal-iyadu billah, "O Allah, raise the rank of every creation and their creations." This is blasphemy. They claim that creations create. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Al-Quran says what means Allah is the creator of everything. وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. Another ayah, هَلْ مِنْ خَالِقٍ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ. So there is no creator other than Allah. Strange, these people, they read the Quran and they oppose it and they claim that they are Sufis. There is another group also, they are called the Burhaniyya. Their Shaykh is Ibrahim al-Burhani. He was a bank agent and then he claimed to follow Sufi tariqah. This man, he does unlawful matters that contradict with the religion. Amongst those matters is he shakes hands with women, with the marriageable woman, and women kiss his hand. Both matters are forbidden in Islam. They have a book, they call it Awrad al-Burhani Tariqah. In that book, they have blasphemous beliefs. The worst matter is that these people, they attribute to Allah non-befitting attributes that opposes Al-Quran, opposes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and opposes the true method and the true way of the true Sufis, the great Sufis like Ahmad al-Rifa'i and al-Baghdadi and al-Jilani and Ibn Arabi and other great Sufis. These people, in their book on page 30 to 31, they say, Allah inhabits the creations and it is possible for the slave to dwell in Allah. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. This is the creed of Al-Hulul. And the Hulul, the scholars of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah, they warned from it. The true Sufis as well, they warned from such creed, which is believing that Allah goes inside of things. And that is blasphemy. Allah is not a soft body nor a thick body. So that means Allah is not like the air, He's not like the light, and Allah is not like the human, a body, a physical body, nor Allah is not a tangible or a non-tangible body. He is not a body. He is the one who created the body, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this tariqah is not from the tariqahs of the true Sufis. In fact, true Sufis warn from it, such as Ibn Arabi, who said, "Man qala bil hulul, fadinuhu ma'lul," which means the one who claims the belief of al-hulul, which is the dwelling of Allah into the creations, then his religion, dinuhu ma'lul, which means it is flawed. His religion is flawed. It is not accepted. It is a false belief. There are other Sufi claimers also who have false beliefs, like those who claim that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam knows everything that Allah knows, or the ones who say that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not human, that he is a physical light. Nur, they took it in the sense that he is physical light. They misunderstood the Arabic word Nur, which means the one who guides, and it also could mean light, but when it's attributed to other than Allah or the Prophet, peace be upon him. For example, if we say Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard, it is blasphemy to believe that this ayah means Allah is a physical light to the heavens and earth. That is not befitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, as Imam al-Bayhaqi al-Ash'ari, who said about this ayah, it means Hadi Ahli Sama al-Malaika wa Hadi Ahli al-Ard. So that ayah means Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard. It means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who guided the occupants of heavens, which are the angels, and the occupants of earth, some of them Allah guided them to the true faith, the true religion, al-Islam. Allah Ta'ala said in Al-Quran Al-Kareem, in the ayah, which means, and we made from water every living thing. And some people, they attribute to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam as being physical light, not being a human. And some people, they will say he is a human, but he is also physical light, and they deny the fact that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was Bashar. Some people, they think they are praising Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but by belying Al-Quran and by belying the Prophet, peace be upon him, they are opposing Islam and they are interrupting Islam and they are committing riddah, they are committing kufr. Even if they said we are trying to do good, their intention is not accepted in this matter, because their claim, their belief opposes the clear context, the Quran and the Sunnah. Allah Ta'ala said in Al-Quran, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ, which means, and we made from water every living thing. In another ayah, Allah Ta'ala said, which means, O Muhammad, say, I am a human, Bashar, like you, Allah reveals unto me. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I only know what Allah conveys unto me. So beware from those who claim to be Sufis and oppose the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Stick to the real knowledge of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah, the knowledge of Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i and Malik and Abu Hanifa and Ahmad ibn Hanbal, the knowledge of the true Sufis of Islam. Let us make sure we obtain the obligatory knowledge, implement it, and be sincere about it in our hearts. Let us be sure to acquire this knowledge, spread it, and teach it to others. Let us be among those who protect and preserve the creed of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the creed of the Sahaba. He who has the perfect love for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam would follow the Prophet's teachings regarding the matters of the lawful and the unlawful. The one who claims that he loves the Prophet, peace be upon him, the most, and that he follows the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, does not follow people in matters that oppose the religion. He does not follow a swindler and a liar. He would follow the Prophet, peace be upon him. So let us speak the truth with sound statements. Let us order what is lawful and forbid what is unlawful, the munkar, and encourage others to do the same. Recognize Sufism and know that true Sufis are those who follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Sunnah, and the true Salaf, and propagate that knowledge through the acceptable methodologies, not through innovations that are rejected in Islam. They are those who brought victories and opened the lands and unified the Muslims throughout the Islamic history. They are the ones who spread Islam and defended the religion. The true Sufis today are endeavoring in sincerity to establish unity among the Muslims. In doing so, they are following the path of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, prescribed as did the companions, their followers, and all the great scholars of Islam. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to be like that. Allah ta'ala said, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, which means apply the rules that are in the book of Allah, adhere to the religion of Allah, and do not disunite. In this verse, Allah told us explicitly the basis of unity and its foundation is adhering to the book of Allah and adhering to the matters of the religion, knowledge of which is acquired by learning it from trustworthy teachers, not anyone who just imitates or he looks like a trustworthy, pious Muslim. If one does not have the reliable knowledge of what is in the book of Allah and what is in the religion, he cannot adhere to their laws. Not anyone who has a nice dress or a nice guise to the Islamic religion or to the scholars or the pious, it means he is a great scholar or a true Sufi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that the basis of the religion is knowledge and to abide and adhere to the principles of that religion, of this religion, Islam. This is what the true Sufis in the past did, and this is what the true Sufis today are doing. And we call upon those who claim to be Sufis, opposing the religion and exaggerating in their Sufism in a way that opposes the religion of Islam, to authenticate all their beliefs and compare it with Al-Quran and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and not to just listen blindly and follow blindly people whom have hidden agendas. By acquiring the knowledge of the religion through trustworthy and knowledgeable teachers who themselves took their knowledge from trustworthy and knowledgeable teachers who have a similar chain reaching back to the best of all, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in this manner we would be authenticating our knowledge. We would be following the true way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the companions, and those who followed them from the great scholars of Islam, and those who followed them from the great Sufis of Islam, and the ijma' of the Muslims, the unanimous agreement of all the scholars of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah, avoiding factions that opposed Islam, that emerged few hundred years ago, and that are emerging nowadays. Factions and extremists who oppose the clear teachings of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Factions and sects such as the Wahhabis, who attribute to Allah non-befitting attributes, such as Hizbul Ikhwan, who who also attribute to Allah non-befitting things, and they declare as kufr and blasphemy to all the nation of the Muslims, as such as Hizb al-Tahrir, who attribute to Allah non-befitting attributes, and who claim that the slave creates his deeds, and from groups who claim to be Sufis, who oppose the religion of Islam and oppose the true way of Sufism, such as those who attribute to Allah non-befitting attributes, body, organs, dwelling in the creations. All of this opposes Islam. I ask Allah to make us among those who order the lawful, al-ma'roof, and forbid what is unlawful, al-munkar, and to grant us the sincerity in all the matters of our religion and all that which we do. I ask Allah to make us among those who strive to teach and spread the beautiful and clear creed of Ahlus Sunnah, and who do that seeking the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not fearing anyone in that course. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.